Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Prayers by the Demigods, Text Number 9. Ataham amsa bhagena devakya putra tam suke prapsyami tvam yashodayam nandapatyam pavishasi. Ata, therefore, aham, I, angsha bhagena, by my plenary expansion, devakya of Devaki, putratam, the son, shube, O all auspicious yogamaya, prapsyami, I shall become tvam, you, Jashodayam, in the womb of Mother Jashoda, Nandapatyam, in the wife of Maharaj Nanda, Pavishasi, shall also appear. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O all auspicious yoga maya, I shall then appear with my full six opulences as the son of Devaki, and you will also appear as the daughter of Mother Jashoda, the queen of Maharaj Nanda. Purport. The word angsha bhagena is important in this verse. In the Bhagavad Gita 10:42, the Lord says, Ataiva bhavanai tena kim yatena twanarjana vishtabhyahamidam kritsnam ekam shena stito jagat. But what need is there, O Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Everything is situated as part of the Supreme Lord's potency. In regard to Lord Krishna's appearance in the womb of Devaki, Brahma played a part also, because on the bank of the milk ocean, he requested the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear. A part was also played by Baladev, the first expansion of Godhead. Similarly, Yogamaya, who appeared as the daughter of Mother Jashoda, also played a part. Thus, Jiva Tattva, Vishnu Tattva and Shakti Tattva are all integrated with the Supreme Personality of Godhead when the Lord appears. He appears with all his integrated parts. As explained in previous verses, Yogamaya was requested to attract Sankarshan, Baladev, from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. And this was a very heavy task for her. Yogamaya naturally could not see how it was possible for her to attract Sankarshan. Therefore, Krishna addressed her as Shubhe, auspicious, and said, be blessed, take power from me, and you will be able to do it. By the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, anyone can do anything, for the Lord is present in everything. All things being his part and parcels, angsa bhagena, and increasing or decreasing by his supreme will. Balaram was only 15 days older than Krishna. By the blessings of Krishna, Yogamaya became the daughter of Mother Jashoda. But by the supreme will, she was not able to enjoy the parental love of her father and mother. Krishna, however, although not actually born from the womb of Mother Jashoda, enjoyed the parental love of Mother Jashoda and Nanda by the blessings of Krishna. Yogamaya was able to achieve the reputation of being the daughter of Mother Jashoda, who also became famous by the blessings of Krishna. Jashoda means one who gives fame. So the text again. O all auspicious Yogamaya, I shall then appear with my full six opulences as the son of Devaki, and you will appear as the daughter of Mother Jasoda, the queen of Maharaj Nanda. Parashya Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyate Svabhavaki Gyanabala Kriyacha Natasya Karyam Karnam Chavidite Natasya Chavidikam Drishyate Parashya Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyate Svabhavaki Gyanabala Kriyacha. That the Supreme Lord has nothing to do. Natasya Chaham. He has nothing to do. But because everything is there's no one equal to or greater than Krishna. Natasya Chaham. And the Supreme Lord actually has nothing to do. Natasya Chaham. Drishyate. How does that go again? Natasya Chaham. Drishyate. That the Supreme Lord is, no one is equal to nor equal to him. And he has nothing to do. But Parashya Shaktir Vivitaiva Shuyate Svabhavaki Gyanabhagala Kriyacha. By his energies, the energies act in a natural sequence. Krishna doesn't even have to personally get involved in what's going on because it's all under his jurisdiction. It just goes naturally. His energies know exactly what Krishna wants and they fulfill his purpose automatically as a successive process. Parashya Shaktir Vividaiva Shuyate Svabhavaki Gyanabala Kriyacha. Whether it's strength or knowledge or bliss, everything just manifests itself in a spontaneous way according to Krishna's desire. And he doesn't have to personally get involved. Similarly, as we heard before, that Itakashasito Nityam Vayu Sarvatrago Mahan Tatasarvani Bhutani Matstaniti Pudarya. That Nichamatstani Karmani Nivananti Dananjaya Nivasi Marasina Masaktatesha Karmasu. Krishna talks about his inconceivable energies, or his how Krishna is able to pervade everything in this universe. Chamatani karmani nibana di dananjaya. Chamatani bhutani paishame yogam aishwaram. Bhuta brinnacha bhuta stoma matma bhuta bhavanaha. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am controlling everything and I'm everywhere, still myself is the source of the creation. That Krishna calls this is yogam aishwaram, inconceivable. And then he gives and it's an example so we can conceive of it. So it's something that's inconceivable. Generally, we can't give an example so we can conceive of it. But Krishna has such inconceivable knowledge, he can give an example for something inconceivable. And he said, just like the air rests always within all-pervading space, so the same way all the cosmic manifestation rests in me. In other words, Krishna is everywhere by his expansion of Paramatma, and yet he's not really there. Just like we're everywhere in this body, but we're really not there because we're transcendental. Therefore, no matter what happens to this body, although we have the capacity to experience whatever is going on, to some extent, what's going on in this body, but we're actually not affected by it. Nainam chinanti shastrani nainam dhati pavaka nichainam kledayantyapo nishoshiti marata. Even if we cut the body or we burn the body or we moisten the body, still the soul doesn't become burnt or moistened or withered. The soul always remains the same. Its experience may change, but it's basically nothing is changing. Just like the moon may be reflected on a body of water, and may appear to be moving, but actually the moon's not moving. It just appears to be moving because the water's moving. But the moon is far away, has nothing to do with the moving of the water, although to our perception it looks like the moon is fluctuating. Same way, the soul is transcendental beyond the material nature, anadivam nirgunadvat paramatmayam avyam. Sharira sopikondiyana karoti nanalipyate. That those who could actually see with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body, or Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything nor is he entangled. So it appears that we're involved in a great drama called the material existence, but actually nothing is really happening to us. This material existence has nothing to do with it. It's just it's like watching a movie, that's all. A very nicely put together movie. Krishna's virtual reality seems practically real. Nowadays they're trying to create goggles so you put on some kind of, and you can see some kind of reality, whatever reality you want to see. You can be traveling on a boat or flying in the sky or swimming in the water with your virtual goggles on. But Krishna has created the most amazing virtual reality. You can actually have a body, not just put on goggles. You can actually have a body where you think you're swimming in the ocean, or that you're flying in the sky, or you're crawling on the earth, or whatever we may imagine what we're doing, but actually we're simply sitting there in this machine made of the material nature, being guided by Krishna, who's giving us remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness, and just trying to enjoy the ride. But unfortunately, the ride for the soul is generally quite bumpy. It's not as smooth as they'd like it to be. In any case, even if we're in the car and the car is bumping up and down, it doesn't mean that we may experience the bumping up and down, but actually we're not the car, although we may think we're the car, aham car. But actually we're simply the passenger in the car, and therefore, although the car may be broken at some time, it doesn't mean that we're broken. It means that the car is broken, and we may have to get another car. Similarly, we're riding in this car, and we're experiencing it, but we're actually aloof from it. So Krishna is pervading the whole universe in his form as Paramatma, and he's completely aware of everything that's going on, but he's not affected by it all. He's transcendental to it. He's beyond the material nature. Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill Krishna, and Prahlad Maharaj said, Krishna is everywhere. So Hiranyakashipu said, is he in the pillar? And Prahlad Maharaj said, of course he's everywhere, so he must be in the pillar too. So then Hiranyakashipu thought, let me kill Krishna by smashing the pillar. So he smashed the pillar, and out came Lord Nrisimhadev and fought with Hiranyakashipu and killed him. So Krishna is everywhere, but it's not if we smash one of our pillars here, we'll kill Krishna. I smashed the pillar, I cut Krishna in half, and now he's finished. No, he's everywhere, and he's unaffected by what's ever going on in the material nature, because he's transcendental, just like the sky is everywhere, and wind blows within it, but the sky is not affected by the wind, although without the sky being there, the wind couldn't exist. The sky holds the wind, but the wind doesn't affect the sky. So Krishna is everywhere, and whatever's going on is within Krishna, but he's not affected by it. And we're not affected by it either, except that our consciousness is absorbed in it. And because our consciousness is absorbed, we feel happiness and distress. Matra, sparsha, sukhandiya, shitoshna, sukhadukada, agama, payano, nityas, tamtadiksha, svabharata. O best of the Bharatas, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress, and its disappearance in due course, are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O sign of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. So yes, Krishna tells Arjuna, you're eternal, you're not part of the material nature. Whatever happens in this material world is not going to affect you. But still, we're asking you to kill your relatives, Bhishma and Drona, your teacher and your grandfather. Therefore, you may feel some unhappiness because these are great personalities, great souls. Therefore, it's expected that some feelings are going to arise. Arjuna was not a cold-blooded killer, simply going out in the battlefield, looking for more blood, and becoming more and more joyful the more heads he cut off. Krishna was a soft-hearted devotee, acting on behalf of Krishna as a matter of duty, not out of vengeance or out of animosity. Therefore, he might feel some dismay at having to kill his very affectionate grandfather and his very affectionate teacher, Dronacharya. So Krishna said, you have to tolerate, that's all. These feelings will come, but you're really not part of the material world, so you must have to tolerate and go on doing your duty, not becoming distracted. The feelings will be there, they're natural, but don't become overwhelmed by these feelings and don't do your duty. So similarly, we ourselves are in the material world. There's going to be so much turbulence because that's the nature of the material world. We can't expect everything forever and ever. We're going to happily live ever after in this body because we're nice people and Krishna will make some special arrangement for us. So we'll stay here forever in this body. Since time immemorial, Krishna has never made any special arrangement for anyone, including Lord Brahma, who lives for 311 trillion, 40 billion years. Even he dies. The difference is he thinks he's going to die very soon, and we think we're going to live forever. Therefore, one has to learn to fix his mind upon Krishna and tolerate the ups and downs of material existence. And then one, Krishna says, then he becomes eligible to not have to come back to this material world and suffer again. And even if we come back, we won't come back in material consciousness anymore. Once we obtain pure consciousness, we'll never lose it, even after we have to take another birth. Therefore, we'll simply go on with our auspicious Krishna consciousness. So when Krishna comes, he comes with all his different energies. And Krishna is also here with his different energies in the Sankirtan movement and giving us an opportunity to participate externally and internally. Externally, if we participate, then we become, our activities become spiritual. Although they may appear to other people to be material, we go on Harinam and people think it's just some crazy people dancing and jumping up and down on the street. But actually it's a spiritual energy that's coming to meet them, although they're unaware of being in ignorance of what's actually going on. And we may be unaware of what's going on too, but actually we're bringing the spiritual world into downtown Ljubljana or wherever it is, and helping people come to the platform where they one day may understand what's actually going on in this universe and in the spiritual universe. So Krishna comes with his various energies in order to demonstrate the spiritual energy, what it's actually like. And it's quite nice. It's dancing. Krishna is not breaking stones with the gopis. They're dancing, they're chanting, they're taking prasadam. There may be a little service to Krishna, cooking in the kitchen or making garlands. But there are no factories. There are no universities. If you go back to the spiritual world, you don't have to go to school. Even if we join Krishna in some universe, we don't have to go to Gurukul, because Krishna went to Gurukul, but he learned some nice things there. But if one is a gopi born in Gogoloka Vrindavan, then one simply learns how to make garlands and cook for Krishna. Not only make garlands and cook for Krishna, you have to eat the remnants also. There's prasadam, there's dancing, chanting. Everything is beautiful there. Everything is fresh. Everything is loving. Everything is affectionate. And once going there, one never wants to come back to find out what's going on in downtown Ljubljana. It's so nice there, one never comes back. So Krishna is giving us an opportunity, and within ourselves, we can actually enjoy the spiritual world as we cultivate Krishna consciousness, and remembrance of Krishna and his name, form, quality, and pastimes appear within our heart, then we can actually relish spiritual existence even in this present body. Therefore, this chanting and dancing is all auspicious. Hearing about Krishna is all auspicious. This devotional service is all auspicious and brings us to the platform where we can actually understand what is auspicious. We can become transcendental to this material energy and not become affected by it any more than one is who's aware of a movie, who's watched the movie millions of times, becomes affected by the plot of the movie anymore. He already knows what's going to happen. So therefore, one is not disturbed if the hero wins the girl, or the hero gets killed, or the villain, whatever happens to the villain. One is not disturbed by it because he knows it's just a movie going on. And that the movie is ultimately being conducted for a certain reason. So one who's Krishna conscious, he sees how everything is perfectly going on by Krishna's arrangement for everyone's benefit, and therefore one is satisfied under any circumstance because he knows whatever Krishna does is good and that ultimately Krishna is in charge of everything. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Krishna Gurudev. Related to this yoga maya being empowered to take Lord Balaram to Vrindavan, I was thinking that in this movement there's probably some empowerment to spread the Sankirtan movement, and somehow it doesn't seem to get manifested.
It doesn't get manifested.
Yeah, that doesn't seem that this movement is spreading so much. So why?
Well, it's for our vision is such that maybe we may not be able to see it. But otherwise, unless we were empowered, I mean, how many people do you know could go out in the street and dance and chant? So we must be empowered to do that. Otherwise, how could we do it? How many people can go out and distribute a book to a complete stranger on a topic of philosophy, eternal philosophy? How many people go out in the street looking for books on eternal philosophy? Not very many. And yet we can do that. How many people can wake up every morning at 2, 3 o'clock or whatever it is, 4 o'clock, and go and dance and chant in the morning? We must be empowered at least to do that. How many can sit in one place and chant Hare Krishna for hours? So we're being empowered to do whatever we're doing. Otherwise we couldn't do it. It's actually, for most people, it's inconceivable. The fact that we're even sitting cross-legged on the floor, most of us, is like inconceivable to people. The fact that we're not smoking cigarettes and going to the movies is also inconceivable. What are people doing? How could they? They must be bored to death sitting there and chanting the same thing over and over again. Maybe they're brainwashed. Or maybe they have no brains. Otherwise, how could they do it? So we're being empowered to do it. Otherwise, we couldn't do it. Now, as far as, you know, sweeping the world in ecstasy and going out in Ljubljana and having everyone dance and chant in ecstasy, that may take a little while. But that's up to our purity, and it's up to Krishna. It's up to their qualifications too, how much they can actually appreciate and experience Krishna consciousness. So we just do our duty. We should not be attached to. We have to develop some faith that's working. It works, at least on me or on us, it works. How much it works on others, that's not our business. We just do the best we can. Leave the rest to Krishna. Anything else? Kwala, Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.